The following program offers general information, not legal advice, and does not create an attorney-client relationship. Please do not reveal information in this public setting that you wish to keep confidential. Every person's legal situation is unique. You should contact your attorney or other professional advisors before taking any actions related to the subjects discussed in this program.
Are long-term care policies reinsured by any state?
The nursing home wants payment.
Am I protected in any way?
It's time to know your options.
I have a question for the VA benefit aide in attendance.
LifePoint Law presents Aging Options.
He got her to sign a document to change the will. What are you doing? He got her to sign that.
With elder law attorney and life planning coach, Rajiv Nagayach.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Anytime, Ray. You bet.
Health, housing, finance, and legal. Know your options. Now, here's co-host Phil George and life planning coach Rajiv Nagayach.
And we welcome you to a Saturday edition of Aging Options here on the 27th day of January, 2018. Bill Davis in with Phil and Rajiv as well. By the way, this is your show, so let me give you the phone numbers, which are 360-676-KGMI, 360-676-5464, if you'd like to talk to Phil George or Rajiv Nagayach, who join us right now live in studio. Hello, gentlemen.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, hey, guys. How are you? How's Phil?
Fantastic, Rajiv. And yourself?
I am doing great. Go to agingoptions.com. Yes. Phil, another edition with four stories sitting up there. Example of traditional estate planning that misses the mark.
And the Trump administration is overhauling policies on Medicaid work requirements.
You know, I love that article.
Yeah,
I really do. And we really need to talk about that. Beware of these scams that are costing seniors billions of dollars annually and what you need to do to protect yourself.
And finally, do you enjoy Facebook? Well, watch out. It just might ruin your retirement.
You know, those are the stories that we are going to be talking about. But I bet you far more important than the stories are going to be your questions.
Yes.
What is it about the retirement planning process that's on your mind? If you have questions about legal issues, should you have a will, should you have a trust, should you, how do you properly craft a power of attorney, all those documents, anything that has to do with legal stuff, you can give us a call. Or maybe it is about finding a nursing home, paying for the nursing home, maybe a question about VA benefits, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, any of those types of questions. We can certainly tackle those questions on this show. You can give us a call at 360-676-KGMI, 360-676-KGMI. Phil, let's talk about the first article. You know, example of traditional estate planning that misses the mark.
And Rajiv, isn't this, you know, this is a common refrain for us that, you know what, traditional estate planning, it just doesn't work out. But this article in particular, it's talking about something, well, new and just a little bit different. It's referring actually to the tax law that was passed here or came into effect just at the beginning of this year.
And you know, the reason why I picked the article, the very first three, four lines, if you go to the article, click the link. We always link you to where we are getting these stories from.
Yes.
And this article comes from a website called Wealth Advisor. And the very first thing they're saying is, got a dusty old binder with your will and estate plan? Question mark. Even if you had prepared, if your paperwork set up a few years ago, all your documents are now out of date, thanks to the new tax laws that went into effect at the turn of the year. And the reason why I call this is yet another example of traditional planning that goes awry, because think about how many people were even caught up in that estate tax mess.
Right.
A handful of people.
Right.
Your estate at the federal level would need it to be over $5 million. And surely some of you in the listening audience, you got that estate. Yeah, you did need to worry about that. And today, that's up to $11 million. And that does not, in my opinion, necessarily make your current estate planning out of date, but it is worth you looking into the specifics of how you put together your tax plan. But you know what? The average person in America does not have a $5 million estate or $11 million estate. And the average person doesn't have to worry about having to change the estate plan for that reason. The state of Washington didn't change anything.
Right?
And we still have the state estate tax, which is roughly at about $2.1 million per person or $4.2 million per couple.
Mm-hmm.
So if your estate is more than $2.1 million, you have some estate tax planning to do. But then there are other reasons. The reason why I think this misses the mark is because we're still focused on the one issue that I think we all identify with when we do estate planning, which is death and dying.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil, what could be more important for people to focus on other than how to protect the assets so they can give the largest inheritance to the children when they're dead?
I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Rajiv, and I'm going to say that making sure that the rest of your life actually goes the way that you want it to go rather than worrying about what's going to happen when you die. Not that that's not important, but really, when it comes down to it, when we talk to our clients, when we talk to people out there at seminars, when we're just meeting people on the streets, by far, the bigger concerns, rather than where is my money going to go when I die, is how can I stay out of a nursing home? How can I avoid making my spouse and my kids crazy if I do need long-term care service? And, you know, at that point, you know, how do I avoid running out of money? And I tell you, you know, those are by far the more important questions to be asking.
And running out of money is not about paying taxes, because
Right. Not
too many people are going to be paying the estate taxes at the level of $22 million for a married couple at the federal level.
Exactly.
And about $4 million at the state level. Not too many people, but more people than not. Here's the reality. 80% of you in the listening audience, if you are retired and you're hoping to be able to live the rest of your life out in your own home, you've got an 80% chance that you're not going to be able to accomplish that goal. Why? Because that's what the data shows us.
Right.
Majority of the people in America, when they fall ill, will end up in a hospital, hospice house, nursing home, assisted living, adult family home, someplace where they would much rather not be, despite the fact that majority of us would much rather have avoided that. And that, to me, is a colossal failure of our estate planning process.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are focused on the right things, but we don't go far enough with this whole issue.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely
right. And so, Phil, and one of the ways, so how do people really understand this stuff? I mean, you and I do seminars. We got some seminars coming up here
pretty
quick. Tell us a little bit about who should be coming to the seminars for this type of education to understand as to how to do this type of work differently.
Well, Rajiv, at the end of the day, the more I get into this, the more that we do this and talk to people, like I was saying before, the more you realize that the planning that we're talking about is really for just about everybody. Everybody, let's say over about 40, because at that point, what you're doing is you're thinking about, well, what's happening with my parents or even my grandparents? What's happening with their estates? What's happening with my aunts and uncles' estates? Do they have their paperwork in order? What are the responsibilities that they're going to hand off to me? And what are their wishes if they do fall sick and need long-term care? So you've got the younger group there, you know, wanting to learn what to do for their elder relatives, as well as, you know, possibly starting to think about that kind of stuff for their future too. And then, of course, you've got the people that are either approaching or already in retirement that can really kind of look at the whole planning process from a new perspective. You know, really kind of sit back and go, well, yeah, now I know where I want my stuff to go when I die. Or, you know, talking about this article, now I've got a tax plan. Well, that covers one portion of it, but what else? What are you going to put in place to make sure that you don't end up in that nursing home, or that you don't end up driving your children and your spouse nuts if you end up needing long-term care? That's really the planning that we're talking about, and that's what we talk about when people come to the seminars.
And the next seminar is going to be in Mount Vernon.
Yes.
On Saturday, February 10th.
Yes.
At 3:00 in the afternoon at the Best Western Plus Skagit Valley Inn.
Yes.
And so we'll be there. If you just want to register, go to agingoptions.com and register. Save yourself a spot. Saturdays, they just get blown out. We were in Anacortes and we had some standing room only.
I think I had somebody on my shoulders.
I just feel awful for the people who just can't get a seat. So if you have a reason, go register. And more importantly today, why don't you pick up the phone and give us a call, 360-676-KGMI, 360-676-KGMI. Back after this break on Aging Options Radio Network.
KGMI is streaming. Go to KGMI.com and listen all day from KGMI Bellingham and KGMI.com. Nobody goes into retirement hoping to spend time in a nursing home, becoming a burden on loved ones, or to lose assets to uncovered care costs. But most retirees do. Not because they couldn't have planned to avoid these results, but because they didn't have the knowledge. Learn how to bring your health, housing, finance, family, and legal hopes into one comprehensive life plan. See life planning coach Rajiv Nagaich. Take it from world champion football coach Mike Holmgren.
In retirement, we need to make sure our healthcare, housing, financial, and legal teams are all working toward the same goal. Enlist the coach you can, life planning coach Rajiv Nagayich.
See Rajiv Nagayich at Aging Options Live, Saturday, February 10th in Mount Vernon. To register for these free events, visit agingoptions.com. Agingoptions.com.
Be ready for the season ahead. Know your options. Visit agingoptions.com.
In today's economy, comprehensive financial advice is critical. That's why it's important to work with a team of dedicated financial advisors committed to listening to you, understanding your concerns, and helping make sure all aspects of your financial life are aligned. The Monhaus Group can work closely with your attorneys and accountants to make sure that their advice is consistent across all areas of your financial life. They'll strive to provide advice tailored to your individual circumstances and all you'd like your wealth to achieve. Learn how the Monhaus Group can help you embrace your financial future with confidence. Call Subir Monhaus and Saket Sanger of the Monhaus Group at 425-990-2756. That number is 425-990-2756. The Monhaus Group, 425-990-2756. UBS Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
In sports, there's nothing worse than a losing season. In retirement, there's nothing worse than running out of money, being forced into a nursing home, or becoming a burden on loved ones. I'm Mike Holmgren. Finish well. Enlist a coach to help you protect assets, guard against unforeseen challenges, and preserve your quality of life. Call life planning coach Rajiv Nagayich.
This is Rajiv Nagayich of Aging Options. It doesn't matter how little or how much money you have. Without a coordinated life plan, one illness can decimate your retirement accounts and send you packing to a nursing home. If instead you had a life plan, you and your family will be prepared and empowered to respond, protecting assets, preserving quality of life, and bringing true peace of mind.
In your most important season, do you have a life plan? Call life planning coach Rajiv Nagayich, 877-76-AGING. That's 877-76-AGING. Visit agingoptions.com.
You better shop around. Yeah, you better shop around.
Now, back to Aging Options with life planning coach Rajiv Nagayich.
And welcome back to Aging Options. This is Elder Law Attorney and Life Planning Coach Rajiv Nagayich, along with
Elder Law Attorney and Life Planning Coach Phil George.
Trump administration overhauls policy on Medicaid work requirements.
I love this one, Rajiv.
You know, and this is now that's going to go over well by a lot of people because, you know, under the Obamacare, what happened was anyone who did not have income, whether they were able-bodied or not, anyone without a minimum amount of income could jump on the Obamacare bandwagon and get pretty much free or subsidized health insurance plans.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with the whole Obamacare was, where's this money coming from? It's not that it's a bad idea that everyone who needs health insurance should have health insurance. But people who are going to retire at 55 and 60, instead of working and having health insurance that way, or being able to pay. If you retire, you have the money, you can buy your health insurance. God bless, you should retire. You shouldn't work a day longer than you should.
Right.
But why should the rest of the public pay for your health care just because you feel like retiring at 55 is a good idea for you? Right? That was one of the big problems that we have, and the Trump administration overhauls that, and now we will have the opportunity for the states individually to go in there and say that, look, if you want to retire early before you become 65 and become eligible for Medicare, and even then understand that when you do qualify for Medicare, you have to pay premiums, Medicare and hopefully a supplement policy. So it's not that Medicare will be free. So we are no longer going to be, at least at the federal level, the government is saying we want to at least give the states the opportunity. If you're too concerned about your budgets, then don't coddle people who are able-bodied in retirement and they want to go into retirement before 65.
Right.
And the nice thing that I love about this article, I don't know whether you read the details or not.
Mm-hmm.
When the decision is being made that people need to be working, The federal government is saying to the states, and by the way, by work, we don't mean that they have to go with their lunch bucket to a paying job, whatever it is, if they want to volunteer, if they want to somehow contribute, if they want to learn new trades. There's all sorts of exceptions that you can build in there so people can self-improve. Mm-hmm. What we just don't want to see happen is the freeloading that'll happen.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I think this is a good policy, good article to take a look at if you're thinking about as to what the Trump administration is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And despite the fact that they get such a bad rap, what are some of the things that make common sense? This is a great article for you to take a look at.
Rajiv, one of the things that I really liked before we move on from that article, one of the things that really kind of jumped out at me was that they were talking specifically about Kentucky. Kentucky is one of the states that is really implementing this and moving quickly at it. And this doesn't apply to people over 65. So really, they're only talking about those able-bodied people during the regular working years, basically having to go out and work. And it's not, like you said, it's not backbreaking. But yeah, though those people, I mean, in my mind, that's not a stretch. That should just be a no-brainer.
And the surprising thing is this, 70% of Americans.
Yeah.
Are approving of this measure.
Yeah.
70% of people are approving this measure. I think just think it's a common sense solution to go ahead and give people that we don't have that much money to allow everyone to drive a Rolls Royce and the government will pay for a chauffeur, by the way. You know, I think that's a great idea too, but where's the money coming from?
Absolutely.
I think we have a email that came in. And by the way, you know, let's give this email out too. You can call us. Our lines are open, 360-676-KGMI. 360-676-KGMI. And if you want to email us, not call us, you can email us at radio@agingoptions.com. Radio@agingoptions.com. And I think we have one of those emails. So let's get to that.
Yeah, let's do. And by the way, John's hanging on the line, wants to talk about settling an estate since you guys were talking about estate planning a minute ago.
Oh, okay.
And John, we'll get to you in just a second. Here's the email from a listener. It says, I'm 57. I hope to be employed soon, making about $40,000 a year. He's got three kids in school, almost divorced, and I'm thinking about growing old by myself. Now, I hope to work until about age 70. His kids are not close to him, probably won't be in his life. Now, I used to think I wanted to have a small home of my own in my elderly years, but lately I've been considering a retirement community instead to provide activities, friends, support system, things like that. What he wants to know, Rajiv, is do you have any specific advice for someone in regard to saving money for putting money down or moving into a retirement community versus being in his own small home? What about it, you guys?
Well, you know, and what a refreshing way to take a look at retirement planning at 57. Looking ahead, I already know some challenges. I know these will be the most challenging years of my life, and what do we need to do? And so thank you so much for this question. And yes, I think the first thing that I'd say, what you need to do is to focus on your $40,000 income. And the fact that you're about to get divorced, and your divorce is about to be finalized, I'm assuming that you will be getting some child support because you have three kids, and also some alimony. So your lawyer should be working towards that. The first thing that you need to understand is this. Just thinking that I want to go into a retirement community and I need to have the money to be able to afford the retirement community is a good aspirational goal, but mm-hmm. a lot of details need to go into it.
Yes.
Thing to understand is, first of all, at 57, you'd be too young to go to any retirement community. Quite frankly, at 70, you'd still be young to go to a retirement community. I think retirement communities are the right time at age 75 or so, when mm-hmm. you still have about 8 or 10 years of good health ahead of you. And the only retirement community that you want to really focus on is a retirement community where once you move in there, they will be willing to give you some written assurance that when you move here, if your money runs out after you have moved here, if your health fails and you need higher levels of care, we will in writing give you assurance that we will not ask you to move from this place again.
Mm-hmm.
That is the right retirement community. And the reality is this, there are only a handful of those in the area.
Yeah.
And you would really need to work hard to finding those. And to be able to afford to get into one of these communities, you will have to pay a buy-in fee to move into it. It's like buying a long-term care insurance policy. That's how they're able to give you this written assurance. And so that's the financial angle to this one. Will you have enough money or enough by way of assets? And for that, you should be working on building what we refer to as a retirement dashboard. A dashboard is you've got $40,000 in income. You'll be getting some child support. You'll be getting some alimony, hopefully. The first thing you need to take a look at is, okay, I've got about 13 more years that I'm going to be working, which is a long time if you know how to use that time properly for you to build a decent retirement nest egg. But at the end of the 13th year, you're hoping to be able to retire. And before you retire, you really should be focused on how much money will you need at age 70 to be able to manage your quality of life, whether it's in a retirement community or otherwise. And if you work with a good planner, they should be able to help you figure that part out. Once you know how much money you're going to need to be able to live your quality of life at 70, the second question then becomes is, okay, well, where will that money come from? And for the average person, it'll come from one of three sources. Social Security, it'll come from your pension plan, if you are lucky enough to have any, and if you're just getting into the workforce, I doubt if you're going to have that. And the third place is going to be your savings or the return on your savings. Those are the only three places, generally speaking, that your income is going to come from. And what you need to verify is that you have enough money set aside to be able to add to Social Security to have enough income to live a good quality of life. So that's the thing that you should be working on now. You should look at retirement communities and just educate yourself. You're not going to be moving to these communities. And the question between now and 13 years is, would you be better off renting or would you be better off buying? And that's also, believe it or not, a quasi-financial issue.
Yes.
Because when you're buying, you're paying off equity. At the end of the day, you'll be able to sell that house and hopefully have that equity that will work for you to give you some more assets in retirement. So what I really laid out for you, this is a more complicated plan than what meets the eye. Your question is pretty darn simple. I'm about to retire, got three kids. I doubt if my kids are going to be there. At least I don't want to plan that they will be there. If they're there, God willing, it'll be a good thing. But if they're not there, I want to be self-reliant. And that's the American way of doing things. And if you want to do that, then you have to look at more than just the finances. You have to look at legal issues, because part of finances should be, should you look to the future and say, I want to be able to access long-term care benefits under VA or Medicaid, or maybe in financial planning I should look at, should I buy a long-term care insurance policy or not? So you need more than just one area that you need to plan for. And you are the prime candidate, I would say, go to the next seminar that we have. Give me an hour and a half and I will tell you all the different pieces you need to pull together to have a bright future ahead of you. Young lady, you're young enough to make sure that you will have a very good future, but you have to start working on that now.
And Rajiv, by the way, we've got Mrs. Hurd on line two. She had a very quick question, I believe, Mrs. Hurd, about the title of an article.
Yep. Yes, you were mentioning an article previous to your last conversation, and I have a nephew, a great nephew, coming along, and I was wondering, is there some way of getting a copy of the article you're referencing?
So we've got several articles on AgingOptions.com. I think the first article that we talked about today was traditional estate planning, and the other one was how Trump administration is doing the Medicaid rules.
Which one? Okay, the how Trump is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I can. I'm happy to send that out to you. Sounds like you got somebody not too happy with the Trump administration.
No, they like him very much, as a matter of fact, because it's certainly better than the alternative.
Oh, of course.
But I was interested in getting an article so that I can reference it to this great nephew.
I would be happy to do that. Do you have an email address I can mail to, or do you want it mailed to you?
I would like it mailed to you. I'm not too happy having my email address.
Well, I tell you what, Mrs. Hurd, what we'll do, I think Rajiv, best idea, I'll get her address off the air
in our next
break, and I will get that to you, Rajiv, and you can send that article to her.
I think that'd be great.
That would be lovely.
Okay, Mrs.
Hurd. You want the address now?
No, if you'll just hold on, and we'll talk to you in just a minute, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, don't go anywhere.
You're welcome.
Yeah, excellent. So, yeah, you'll get that to her. And I think it's time for another break.
Sounds good. We'll be back right after this break.
TMI News Update.
I'm Mike Davis. A local mariner had a close call after his boat sank Friday. The Seattle Coast Guard said the man's 38-foot pleasure craft went down in over 250 feet of water near Whidbey Island. That was in 15-mile-an-hour winds and 1-foot seas on Friday. He swam to Minor Island after contacting his wife, who called the Coast Guard. The man got a helicopter ride to Whidbey Island General Hospital, where he was treated for hypothermia. A new bill introduced to the Washington Senate would make it harder for berry farmers, including in Whatcom County, to apply pesticides. Under the bill, berry farms would provide pesticide application records to the Department of Health monthly. Additionally, DOH would maintain a list of persons to be notified of a planned pesticide application on a farm. Farmers would need to give notice of planned application 4 days prior to doing it. KGMI Dependable Forecast: showers and breezy today with a high of 45. Rains back overnight. Mike Davis, KGMI News.
Stay connected with KGMI. Get local breaking news and all the information you need instantly. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KGMI Radio.
In the 1980s, when the mullet brought business up front and a little party to the back, Keel Mortgage was bringing quality business backed by the products that helped new homeowners to celebrate. In the 90s, when rollerblades were the latest fad, Keel Mortgage continued in line with the timeless values that the company was founded on. Now, for the next generation and whatever styles come next, Keel Mortgage will continue to serve our Northwest neighbors with timeless values and timely advice.
Hi, I'm Laura Keel. If you're looking to purchase a new home and want to know all the options, give us a call at Keel Mortgage. We would be honored to earn your business. We're located in Renton. We've been here a long time, and we're here to help. And we've still got some pretty impressive hairdos, too.
In a world of confusing headlines and challenging markets, comprehensive financial advice is more important today than ever. It takes an understanding of your entire financial life, your hopes and dreams, to create a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. As your personal advocate, the Monhaus Group will provide you with advice that is tailored to your circumstances and priorities. They'll start with a detailed plan for all you'd like your wealth to achieve. Over time, the Monhaus Group will adjust your plan as your circumstances change, so you can embrace your financial future with confidence. Call Subir Monhaus and Saket Sanger of the Monhaus Group at 425-990-2756. That number is 425-990-2756. The Monhaus Group, 425-990-2756. UBS Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Age on. Back to Aging Options with life planning coach Rajiv Nagayich.
And welcome back to Aging Options. This is elder law attorney Rajiv Nagayich along with
elder law attorney and life planning coach Phil George.
Talking all things aging. If you have any questions, don't sit in the sidelines. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 360-676-KGMI, and we can certainly be talking to you. We've got John and Lorraine, and right after that, we could be talking to you.
Yes.
And if you have any interest in learning how to better prepare for your retired future, head over to agingoptions.com and register for our upcoming seminar that we'll be presenting on the 20th of this month. On the 10th of this month, February 10th, in Mount Vernon, Washington. So head over to agingoptions.com, register. Saturdays tend to be pretty busy, and you don't want to be standing in the back of the line trying to figure this out. And you certainly don't want to go into retirement thinking that you've done all the planning, but finding out too late that your planning does not work. Let's go to John. I think John's been waiting the longest. Let's go to John and see. He has a question about some estate issues.
Yeah, I'm looking for just some advice and to see what my options are. My father has passed away a couple years ago, and my mother has passed away in this last year, and my brother is the executor on the will. And, you know, about the time my father passed away, my brother had discussed, some of the accounts that were going to be going to have funds in them, and some of the dollar values and stuff, and he mentioned he was keeping accounting records of such. And now, so since my mother has passed away, the estate's kind of being quantified in a list, and none of those accounts that he had talked about, none of those dollar values are on that list. He'd end up living with my mother, him and his wife, for about 4 years, and I think he's got a lot of his names were kind of put mutually on some of their banking accounts to make sure the utilities were paid properly and stuff. And so he has decided not to share some of those high dollar accounts with myself and my sister. And I'm just wondering what are my options as we try to settle this estate, my mom's estate.
Boy, John, this is that's a very common problem that you got there. And really, there aren't a whole lot of things that you can do there. If your father went and put your brother on the account, a lot of times that means that you don't have a lot of options. However, there are things that you can do. Unfortunately, most of those involve seeing an attorney and going in and having the court see if what he's doing is right. If you can prove that your father's intent was to have all of these accounts basically split equally and that those accounts were there, then the court will more than likely make him split everything just like you're saying that your father wished he would. I wish that there was a better answer for you there, but if you'd like to speak more about the specifics off air, you can always reach out to me at the office up here in Bellingham, 360-318-7323, and I'd be more than happy to get more into the specifics of your issue.
At the very least, I think, John, what you may want to do is to look into what your rights are. You have the right to an accounting. Just because his name is there doesn't mean that he doesn't have that obligation to go ahead and give that accounting to you. He would have to make a showing that, no, this is not part of the estate asset, and therefore he doesn't have to give you that accounting. But at least you need to hail him in front of a judge and say your piece and say, this is what the intent was, this is what happened. Unfortunately, your mom had the reason, your parents had the ability to make this a very different outcome than they did. And the lesson you learned from this, even if you don't do too much with your parents' estate, I hope you're able to get some answers that you're looking for. Call Phil. But what you take away from this one is you don't want to put your children through the same mess.
Right.
The planning needs to happen 10 years before you're going to die. You need to sit down with the entire family and make sure that everyone in the family, including the people you're leaving in charge, know that the point of you putting somebody in charge is so that things are going to be kept transparent between the rest of the family. Somewhere in my heart, I just have this feeling that your parents totally trusted that your brother would do the honorable thing and the right thing. And what is honorable for your brother, who probably is feeling entitled to taking everything because, I took care of mom for 4 years, dad for 4 or 5 years. Why shouldn't I get all this money? But maybe your parents likely did not have the same interpretation of what they thought would be the fair thing to do. And why are we assuming that people will be able to figure it out? And they probably have all the documents. Likely there's a will, there's powers of attorney. And they, in the will, they basically said, honey, I love you, I trust you. They're talking about your brother. And you, when we die, we are going to hand the keys of this car to you. You drive it whichever way you want to. Just make sure you take your siblings along for the ride. That's all they said. What they expected the child to do was never said. What the child is going to do, there was no check and balance on that. And today you're sitting with this unfortunate situation that likely your parents' hopes are going to get dashed, and your brother has at least an argument to say, I'm doing everything that my parents said that they need to have. And what you need to do something different in your life is to go ahead and recognize you can do better. The will has to be more than just, I appoint John as my power of attorney. I appoint John as my executor in the will. And John, honey, you figure out what you need to do. No, no, no. That is the mistake. You need to write down in the will, what do you want John to do? You want John to provide an accounting of every asset in the estate to everyone. If you are expecting to leave a certain asset to John outside of that distribution, you need to make provision for that in writing. Then you need to sit down with the family and have this open conversation. So if we ever end up going to court, there is some evidence that mom and dad had a totally different idea than about what my brother is about to do right now. In your life, don't become your parents. But in the meantime, call Phil. Phil, how do people get a hold of you?
Again, that number, if you want to reach out to me here at the Bellingham office, Rajiv, 360-318-7323, and then that'll get right to the office, and they'll pass you on to me. And, John, we can talk more about the specifics of your case here.
Thank you for the call, John. A. John, and that leaves the line open. 360-676-KGMI. Give us a call, won't you?
And
Rajiv, just as Lorraine is doing. Go
ahead. Rajiv, we have Lorraine on the line. Lorraine, you're with us now. What was your question for Rajiv?
Oh, thank you. If a hospital has decided to move your spouse to a care facility at a distance further away than you'd like or is convenient, what can we do about it?
In the words of Nancy Reagan, you can just say no. There is no, and this is the amazing thing, though. The hospital never has the right to dictate where they're going to discharge you. They have an obligation to take care of you. They have an obligation to educate you about what they feel needs to happen from this point on. But they do not have the right to send you to a place where you'd much rather not go. And so it is up to you to figure out where would you like to go and make that place available to them. So what happens in the hospital system is the reason why they tell you where to go is this. The moment that the average person is going to get admitted into the hospital, the case is going to get referred to the discharge planning nurse. There's a whole department up there that does discharges, and the hospitals are in the business of bringing people in and getting them out. That's what they're supposed to do. And you start the discharge planning process pretty much as soon as you are taken to the hospital. And they start calling around and saying, hey, are you accepting new patients? What's your census look like? And what kind of relationships they have? There is no reason to think that two people sitting in that department will pick the same place. This person may just happen to be more familiar with this particular place that they're sending you to. If you don't like it, you can ask for them to discharge you to a place of your choosing. I think what the hospital's biggest concern is going to be that when you leave the hospital, are you going to a safe place? What they don't want to do is to take the chance of you going somewhere, falling on your head, and then suing the hospital for negligence. That's how the hospital is going to be approaching the discharge. But if you have a better alternative, I think you should be able to dictate. I think the easiest way that you can make sure that you don't get into an altercation with the hospital, because if you go to the hospital and say, we don't like the decision you've made, you're going to be taking a position that is opposite to the hospital's position. If you're good at communication, you can keep everything kind of on the up and up and smooth it out easily, then you should do the talking. A much better answer would be get a nurse or a care manager to do the talking for you. There are people in the community, and there's a lady called Mariah Cretu who may be able to help you. She does this type of work. She helps many of our clients out. You may be able to give her a call and say, look, I want you to help get my mom discharged to this facility, and then she can work. Now, you'd have to pay her hourly. She's a private pay. But you would get a result that is much closer than what you want. Caution, if you insist on being sent to a home and the hospital says, no, I don't think that's a good idea, they may discharge you against medical advice. And if they do that, then there will be no Medicare coverage for you from that point on. So you don't want to pick up a fight or take up this situation in a way that will alienate the hospital. That's why it may be better for you to get some outsider to work with you on this issue. I hope that makes sense, Lorraine.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. And A. John. And that leaves the line open at 360-676-KGMI. I think we had Tim who had called in. Tim, call back again. I think we lost you. So give us a call back. We'll be happy to go ahead and take your call and see if we can give you an answer. And more importantly, the rest of you, pick up the phone. Give us a call. Teleport yourself into the studio by dialing 360-676-KGMI. When we come back, Phil and I, we can talk about the rest of the stories that there are on the website. Beware, these scams can cost you billions. And do you enjoy Facebook? Watch out, it might ruin your retirement. Those stories, your calls, right after this break on Aging Options Radio Network.
Stay connected with KGMI. Get local breaking news and all the information you need instantly. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at KGMI Radio.
In sports, it's not always the most talented who wins. Success comes to the most dedicated, willing to learn, and coachable.
I'm Mike Holmgren, and a good player can become a great player in the hands of the right coach. In life, become a successful retiree with the help of an Aging Options life coach.
Nobody goes into retirement hoping to spend time in a nursing home, becoming a burden on loved ones, or lose assets to uncovered care costs. Yet, most retirees do. Not because they could not have planned to avoid these nasty results, but because they did not have the knowledge. This is Life Planning Coach Rajiv Nagaraj. Are you willing to learn how to plan your retirement differently so you can not only hope, but actually realize your life goals?
Go for greatness. Know your options. See your life planning coach at Aging Options. 877-76-AGING. That's 877-76-AGING. Visit agingoptions.com.
In today's economy, comprehensive financial advice is critical. That's why it's important to work with a team of dedicated financial advisors committed to listening to you, understanding your concerns, and helping make sure all aspects of your financial life are aligned. The Monhaus Group can work closely with your attorneys and accountants to make sure that their advice is consistent across all areas of your financial life. They'll strive to provide advice tailored to your individual circumstances and all you'd like your wealth to achieve. Learn how the Monhaus Group can help you embrace your financial future with confidence. Call Subir Monhaus and Saket Sanger of the Monhaus Group at 425-990-2756. That number is 425-990-2756. The Monhaus Group, 425-990-2756. UBS Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Nobody goes into retirement hoping to spend time in a nursing home, becoming a burden on loved ones, or to lose assets to uncovered care costs. But most retirees do. Not because they couldn't have planned to avoid these results, but because they didn't have the knowledge. Learn how to bring your health, housing, finance, family, and legal hopes into one comprehensive life plan. See life planning coach Rajiv Nagaraj. Take it from world champion football coach Mike Holmgren.
In retirement, we need to make sure our healthcare, housing, financial, and legal teams are all working toward the same goal. Enlist the coach you can. Life planning coach Rajiv Nagaraj.
See Rajiv Nagaraj at Aging Options Live, Saturday, February 10th in Mount Vernon. To register for these free events, visit agingoptions.com. Agingoptions.com.
Be ready for the season ahead. Know your options. Visit agingoptions.com.
Once again, Aging Options.
And welcome back to Aging Options. This is Rajiv Nagaraj with
life planning coach and attorney Phil George.
And we are taking your calls, yes, your questions, anything about retirement. We are taking those. And I think we have Tim back on the line. Let's go to Tim.
Yes.
How can we help, Tim? You're on the air.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering whether it's better to have just a standard will or a trust. And I live in Washington and I'm retired, but what's the difference?
A big common question, right? And I think, you know, people have heard about wills and trusts. And if you hear common advice, many people will say, oh, you need a trust. You don't want your kids to have to go through probate. So let me give you a simple answer. I think either one of them are going to be appropriate for the right situation. But how do you decide which is right for you? Here's how. To begin with, understand both wills and trusts do exactly the same thing. They're essentially going to say who is going to inherit what from your estate when you are no more on earth. When you die, how do you want your estate distributed? But they go about doing it differently. If you have a will, they will likely be a probate process if your estate has either real estate or more than $100,000 of assets that do not have a beneficiary designation. So if you have a bank account and you don't have a beneficiary designation, if you have a brokerage account, and typically deeds to the homes don't have beneficiary designations, it's only recently that the state of Washington has allowed you to have what they call as transfer and death deeds. Most of us don't have those. So if the value of these assets is more than $100,000, then your estate will have to go through probate. Why? Because probate is a social system that says when Tim passes away, before his children get the money, we want to make sure that we are fair to other people who Tim may have died owing money to. Maybe he was in a hospital and there's some bill that needs to be taken care of. Maybe before he died, he got a roofer to come and tack on some shingles to his house, and he owes $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 to that creditor. Whoever the creditor is, it would be unfair for the kids to get the money and the creditors get stuck with the bill. So the probate process. And the probate process essentially is, you go to court, you file the will, you basically tell the judge, Tim is now dead, these are the heirs, and we are going to file a notice in a certain newspaper in the area and let that notice run for 4 months, which will become a notice to the entire world that if you have a claim against Tim's estate, you have 4 months to bring this. And after 4 months, if you don't file the claim, then we will distribute the assets to Tim's children, and you will never be able to go back to the children and say, oh, your dad died owing money to me, I want something. So on the one hand is protection for the creditors, and on the other hand, in my opinion, much better protection for your children, who once they get the inheritance after probate, will be much more secure that their inheritance is really theirs and no one can attack it. But the downside of probate is there's going to be a delay. Typically, it'll take 6 to 9 months to clear the probate, and there will be a cost. Typically, if you work through attorneys, you'll pay somewhere between $3,500 to $5,000 to get a probate taken care of. And that then becomes the rallying cry for a lot of attorneys and a lot of other people. Oh, you don't want to go through probate. Why not? It'll take time. It'll cost money, about $3,000, $5,000. So how do I avoid it? You do a trust. What is a trust? It's like creating a business and recognizing that Tim's estate will only go through probate if when Tim died, he either had a real estate in his name or he had more than $100,000 of assets without a beneficiary designation. So how about we create the trust and transfer the ownership of Tim's house into the trust? All the assets you have, we just put them all in the trust. Now Tim dies. Well, I didn't own anything. The trust did. The trust doesn't die. And so there will be no probate. So it's a pretty nifty scheme. And it does surely help you avoid probate. The real question is, should you do the trust? It is complicated. It complicates your life to some extent. Not only do you have to create the trust, but put everything in the trust. Now, if you go to a lawyer, someone like Phil, he will make sure that everything, what you start out with, goes into the trust. But then life happens. You go to Hawaii, you love this timeshare, and you buy the timeshare. And you forget all about the trust. And then you die with most of the assets in the trust, with this timeshare hanging out stupidly in your name. Now, you have to go through probate to get the timeshare into the trust, and you have to kill the trust. So most people will forget the complications, and my take is this. You are going to have to decide whose life do you want to complicate and who do you want to give that bill to. If you are willing to pay a little bit extra to get the trust done and you want to make the life of your children easier to navigate, then do the trust. But if you want to keep your life easier and you don't want to pay more, a will is much cheaper to prepare than a trust is, then I would say you don't owe your children an inheritance. What they get is a windfall. If to get that windfall, they have to go through probate, let them worry about it. You keep your life simple. You keep that money in your pocket. And most Washingtonians would be better off, in my opinion, with a will, even though there will be a probate at the end of the day, because the probate will give your children a benefit that the trust never will.
Okay, that's great. That makes sense. Now, the cost of a trust, typically, what would that be?
So it depends where you get it done. If you go down to one of these legal Zoom type of things, you can get it done for as little as, I think, $1,000, $1,500, something like that. But it is just boilerplate stuff that is just going to be boilerplate. If you want to get it done the proper way, you'll understand that the trust shouldn't just say who gets what when I die, but you're going to have a lot of structures in there to make sure there's transparency, there's not going to be a family fight, like the call we got from Jim earlier. You know, his mom and dad had this thing, and now they're at odds with each other. If you go to a local attorney, in my estimate, you'll pay somewhere between $5,000 to $10,000 to go ahead and get a properly done trust. But when I'm saying a trust, I'm talking about trusts, powers of attorneys, wills, living wills, disposition remains, mental health advance, all the legal, the whole package, if you get it done, you'll pay somewhere between $5,000 to $10,000, I think so, to get it done properly.
Okay.
Right. So, I see. Hopefully that kind of gives you a good sense of where we are.
All right. Thank you. Now, the only other thing that I have a will already, and it was one of those that I did online type of thing. It's pretty, and I don't know if it's the best. But anyway, I have one.
And most of us have one, Tim. So the reason why I do the work that I do is this. Look, I mean, the reality that I want people to, I want to shake everyone up who listens to the show and say, here's the reality you're dealing with. I know you're doing a lot of planning, but look at the rest of your life and say, what is the most important thing you want to accomplish in life? And likely, I don't think you will disagree with me when I say, amongst all the goals you want to accomplish, one of the goals will be, I don't want to be put into a nursing home if I can avoid it. I don't want to become a burden to my children. And I want to protect my money so I don't die broke. I want to leave a little bit something to my kids. And as soon as you say that, yeah, those goals are important, here's the reality you're staring at. Chances that you will be able to avoid a nursing home and be able to take your last breath in your own home, 20%. Chances that you will be put out of your home into some care community, even though you've done the legal planning, even though you've done financial planning, even though you go to doctors on a regular basis, the chances are that you will be able to live your life in your own home, less than 20%. How is that planning working out for America? What do we need to do different? It is not the documents that you pay for when you go to a good attorney. It is the time that you spend with them and say, what am I not looking at this point of time? And you'll find out that it takes a lot more than just legal paperwork. Most people in the nursing homes, they have the stupid paperwork in place. But there's something more. So what I'd suggest is, Tim, if you're open to it, Anacortes, February 10th, give me an hour and a half of your time.
It's Mount Vernon, right?
Mount Vernon, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I just registered online, so it should
Great.
Be okay.
I'll see you there, because I promise you, if you don't walk away with at least two or three things that you didn't know before, see me after the seminar, I'll buy you lunch.
Okay, all right.
Okay?
Appreciate it. That's it's very helpful.
Thanks so much, Tim.
Thank you.
You bet. Hey, John. And that leaves the line open. If you want to give us a call, 360-676-KGMI, and that should be done in the next 2 seconds. Oops, 2 seconds have gone. We don't have the time. I think the whole hour has gone
Didn't
by.
Didn't that just fly by?
It just flies by. And, you know, what a great call. Tim, thank you. Jim, thank you. Lorraine, thank you. Mrs. Hurd, thank you. This is what makes this show live. It's about you, the listener. It's not about what Rajiv and Phil are going to end up saying. So keep these numbers handy, 360-676-KGMI. Next week, we'll be back at the same place, same time. In the meantime, go to agingoptions.com, register for the seminar. We hope to see you in Mount Vernon. Hey, John, everyone. Phil, thank you so much.
Hey, John, Rajiv.
And Bill, the man behind the scenes who doesn't talk too much. Thank you for everything you do to make this show a success.
My pleasure. I'll see you guys next week, okay?
Yes.
We will be looking forward to seeing you next week. Age on, everyone.
You've been listening to Aging Options with elder law attorney and life planning coach Rajiv Nagayich. Bring your questions, interact, and engage with Rajiv at Aging Options Live. For upcoming Aging Options Live events, visit agingoptions.com and call 877-76-AGING, 877-76-AGING. Listen to today's program and additional podcasts at agingoptions.com. Protect your assets and preserve your quality of life. Know your options. Visit agingoptions.com.